The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone. Tune in. You did that. Get healthy. That's what's going to happen for the next hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and you're listening to Natural Doc Radio. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet.
And what is on our agenda for this morning?
We've been talking about the impact of infections and its relationship to a lot of different conditions that really aren't being recognized. But the other aspect of infections is vaccinations. And, you know, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, there are over 200 different infections by either bacteria, viruses, fungus, or parasites that can infect humans, over 200. And they just have a handful of vaccines, and it just doesn't make sense to me. Let's see, what would be a good analogy to that? If 200 people are shooting at you and you only block around 10 of them.
Not such good.
Is that really protecting you? Remember, the most important thing required for a vaccine to work is a healthy immune system.
Right. The vaccine is injected into you or delivered to your body in such a way as to stimulate an immune response against that specific bacteria, virus, parasite, whatever. And we are talking about, as you made the list earlier in the week, of over 200 infectious agents. And so we're blocking fewer than 15 with our vaccines.
And I would say vaccines are one of the most controversial areas of medicine.
Might that be because there have never been that scientific standard, according to the medical community, double-blind, placebo-controlled studies?
Well, I was going to get into that, but even before that, the fact that they're mandated. You know, if they weren't, if people weren't being forced to be vaccinated, to the children, then it wouldn't be as big an issue. But the fact that they're mandating you to do something that is so controversial. Now, some people put out lists of the most dangerous substances we're exposed to, and vaccines, you know, head the list. The MMR, influenza vaccine, HPV vaccine, the rotavirus vaccine, the poliovirus vaccine. But if you were to Google that, you have proponents on both sides of the issue. The people against the vaccine, you know, state the scientific findings that we'll get into in a second.
Might they also say, oh, I have a friend who had a severe negative reaction? Might they also say, I had a negative reaction to a vaccine, and consequently, I am extremely cautious. I don't want to hurt myself with vaccines.
Well, but you have, you know, very strong adversaries here, pro and con.
Right.
And, you know, the people who are pro say vaccines are dangerous, pro against vaccines, let's say. People against vaccines say they're dangerous. The people for vaccines say that's never been proven.
Nor has their efficacy ever been proven.
So here's the question then that the people who are in favor of vaccination should answer. And here's a little history. Like, there's a controversy about the polio vaccine, stating that in the 1950s, when they first started making the virus
vaccine,
the vaccine, they cultured the virus in monkey kidney cells in order to produce the vaccine.
And consequently, anybody who was exposed to that form of polio vaccine now is harboring monkey kidney cells.
Right, the simian virus 40.
Right.
So here's the controversy. So the people who say, well, that's never been shown to cause cancer. And then people who say that it does cause cancer. So this is the controversy on that front.
Well, it's just an issue. Anyone thinking with a shred of common sense would say that the simian virus 40 isn't a wonderful thing to have circulating through your body for a lifetime.
Well, of course. Let's say even if there is no proof, although there is published data stating that the simian virus 40 is associated with mesothelioma. In other words, not just asbestos, but that virus as well. And maybe it's the connection of the two. Having the virus in your body and being exposed to asbestos increases your risk of mesothelioma. Now, the other concern about vaccines, well, it was the virus, but... And all the vaccine industry has to do is give me a good explanation why you have viruses from monkeys in the vaccine. Does that enhance the ability of the vaccine to create immunity, or is it just a contamination?
That's a very, very interesting question, but I'm thinking that the answer might be is we have shown in human test subjects, I don't know that this is true, but theoretically, that they have shown in test subjects that that virus produces a very strong immune system response. Whether it's the targeted immune system response that they're going for is certainly open to question.
Now, there was somebody named Bernice Eddy, and she was involved with the Division of Biologic Standards. And she discovered in 1954, as a polio control officer, that there were live viruses in the supposedly killed polio vaccine. And she discovered that in 1955, so a year after she reported that, she was relieved of her duties as the polio control officer.
Uh-oh.
After her discoveries concerning the simian virus 40 virus, her staff and animal space were reduced, and she was demoted from head of a section to head of a unit.
So much for speaking the truth.
Even when the contaminating virus was found to be cancer-causing in hamsters, the Division of Biologic Standards and its expert advisory committee decided to leave existing stocks on the market rather than risk eroding public confidence by a recall.
So we don't really care that there is significant information with regard to negative outcomes with this vaccine. We just want people to have really strong belief that vaccines are effective.
Well, okay, so how do you put an end to all this controversy? Just produce the studies, like you mentioned earlier, that show these vaccines are safe. They've been tested, all the ingredients have been tested, and there's no problem. So let's go through what tests have been done on these vaccines. First of all, you have to understand that, let's see, the vaccines, if we'll start with the polio vaccine, although there were a couple before that, like the smallpox, but the polio vaccine, I think, introduced the real era of mass vaccinations in the country, and back, and that's back in the 1950s.
Because prior to that, we kind of accepted certain illnesses as childhood illnesses, and there would be outbreaks of these illnesses, and then after the outbreak, there would be natural immunity.
That's true. So, all right, so the first thing you have to understand is vaccines are a multi-billion dollar industry internationally.
Who pays for them, though? Because when, like, we have the flu vaccine push every fall, and a lot of times they're offered for free. You know, like at senior centers and maybe at daycare centers and stuff like that?
Well, since the government doesn't have their own money, I would presume it's the taxpayer.
There you go.
So it's an international industry, and many pharmaceutical companies, the vaccination business is their fastest growing segment.
Does it have a list of those countries?
Well,
Not yet.
Well, the countries are all over the world. The pharmaceutical companies, there are just a handful of them that are doing the vaccines.
But the fastest growing part of that nation's economy, that's stunning.
No, no, not the nation's economy, the drug company's economy.
Oh, okay.
All right. Now, here's something that's kind of interesting. We think of the Center for Disease Control as being an independent governmental agency, but they're making money from vaccines through licensing. And there, and here's something that we've talked about over the years. There's a revolving door between the CDC and the FDA and the vaccine manufacturers in terms of recruiting. For example, former CDC director Julie Gerberding is now the head of Merck's vaccine division.
Huh, isn't that quite a surprise? So, very well paid, we should add. We don't necessarily have her salary figures, but one would assume.
I bet she gets a better salary than she did when she worked for the CDC.
I bet she does.
And then there's the research that is basically withheld from the public. It only gets out there through the Freedom of Information requests that show that the CDA has massaged the data in the past.
Ooh, softened those harsh edges of information.
For example, the association between autism and mercury and autism and vaccines is still an open question.
And I'm going to say it isn't this causes that. I'm going to say the mercury contamination in the vaccine delivered to an immune compromised individual, someone who is fighting off a cold or sore throat, something very, very basic, a baby who is teething, someone who has been under extreme stress, someone who is nutrient deficient, not enough vitamin D, not enough zinc, not enough vitamin C.
Now, you know, you hear the talking heads on TV stating vaccines are perfectly safe and you should definitely get your vaccine. But the majority of the studies that claim to prove that autism is not associated with thimerosal, which is the mercury or the MMR vaccine, have significant conflicts of interest, significant flaws in their methods, and they do not answer the whole question. So in other words, you're not getting good tests, and you're not getting good, reliable answers to these questions.
Let's see if those people so supportive in the government agencies and in the pharmaceutical industry, if those people are willing to publicly have an MMR vaccine delivered to their bodies. I don't know how willing they'd be to go through with that. The MMR vaccine, the flu vaccine, maybe a few other options, maybe the shingles vaccine, maybe the pneumonia vaccine, maybe the meningitis vaccine, all delivered at the same time, because that's what we're doing to very young infants. And that music means that it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Why should I do blood testing? I feel fine. Advanced medical testing provides information in advance of symptoms developing. Get the health information you need to stay healthy. Get the information you need to minimize the need for medical treatment. When you know where to focus your efforts, the results can be rewarding. Get healthy, stay healthy, with the information you need from Advanced Medical Testing Center. 754-216-2332, 754-216-2332.
Are you looking for expert advice on improving your health? You want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule consultations with me, Janet Cimarelli, at janetcimarelli.com. I'm a licensed nutrition counselor, and I specialize in the field of natural foods and supplements. I offer consultations with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. I'll educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. I will include information on overcoming allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with me, and I'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health. Visit JanetCimarelli.com and tune in to hear me on Natural Doc Radio here on WNN, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11.
How do you know what testing you should get at Advanced Medical Testing Centers? Advanced Medical Testing Centers offers testing packages at reduced rates so you can test for most common health challenges, hormone imbalances, immune issues, heart problems, blood sugar imbalances, and many others are available at AMT Center. 754-216-2332, 754-216-2332.
Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And over the past week, we've been talking about the infectious component that may very well be associated with things like heart and circulatory disease, heart attacks, cancer, diabetes, arthritis, inflammatory conditions, immune-suppressing conditions, and that unfortunately, the medical community tends to treat an accumulation of symptoms rather than looking for the underlying cause.
Janet, here's, I think, a statement that sort of sums up this whole issue. And the statement is the standard, for years, advocates have asked the government to perform a large study of fully vaccinated children compared to unvaccinated controls to assess their total health and to compare autism rates in the two populations. That seems like not an unreasonable request, but here's what they're told. The standard response to that request has been silence, or the argument that to leave children unvaccinated is unethical. But here's the counter to that. They say, since populations who have chosen not to vaccinate for religious reasons already exist, they feel it is more unethical to inject 4 million infants a year in this country with a vaccine schedule that has not been subjected to a placebo-controlled trial. Another example, so the assumption of safety, so in other words, they're giving all these kids the vaccines, they're saying it's perfectly safe. That's analogous to arguing that because 10 individual drugs are safe for children, it is therefore safe to give a child all 10 at once.
Ooh.
In addition, the safety and efficacy testing of a new vaccine is often performed only in comparison to a previously approved vaccine, not to a true placebo. And regarding long-term outcomes, the use of hormone replacement therapy comes in mind as an example of why it is critical not to assume safety of any widespread treatment without actually following patients over decades. Long-term safety studies of vaccines for outcomes other than infectious diseases have not been completed. In other words, they just look, they don't even look to see if it helps infectious diseases. They just look for short-term side effects from the vaccine. The assumption is it's going to help. So what they should do, and this is what they haven't done yet, is the study should be done to determine the safety of simultaneous vaccines versus placebo, mixing of vaccine adjuvants, and that hasn't been tested. Those are the mercury and the aluminum they put in there. And then you have a follow-up study of the higher rate of seizures from children who have been given the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine versus the MMR. So there's the, there's another vaccine in there with MMRV. And I don't even know what the V is standing for. Varicella, maybe. Maybe they're mixing
measles, mumps,
rubella, and varicella versus MMR. So they just assume that if you each individual vaccine is okay, then putting them all together is okay. There have been no studies of the remaining vaccines beyond just MMR and hepatitis. For example, no studies on the rotavirus vaccine, diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, hepatitis B, the pneumococcal vaccine, the polio vaccine, the flu vaccine, or hepatitis A. There have been no studies of the remaining ingredients in the childhood vaccines besides mercury. And it's worth noting that a finding of speech delays and tics associated with mercury-containing vaccines has been replicated in published studies. And yet they're being told perfectly safe. And they're mandating it, particularly in California, where they, I think they... You don't have even a religious exemption.
There are no exemptions as far as I'm aware. In the state of California, very interesting state of affairs. Interesting from the viewpoint, let's take a look in 10 years. Oh, what's going on with these children who have been absolutely mandated to take the vaccines. It would be an interesting discussion to find out if the parents are compliant if they request single dose vaccines. So taking measles at one point, taking mumps at one point, taking rubella, and not having that incredibly toxic mix, MMR, and now MMRV. It's very interesting also to consider that with the varicella, that vaccine has limited efficacy. So children who have been vaccinated with the varicella vaccine, unfortunately or fortunately, still may contract chickenpox.
And from my standpoint, when the medical establishment loses their credibility in one area, they lose their credibility in every area. Because
well,
how can you trust that they're giving you honest information?
Well, they're giving you a kind of false sense of security based on nothing. The medical community talks all the time about the critical importance of having science, scientific research, and the gold standard of double-blind placebo-controlled study. And here with vaccines, they're 180 degrees from their standard of safety establishment. It's a crazy situation. And Dr. Slavin, what you said, okay, if they lose their credibility in one area, I see it very much as a domino effect. They are certainly starting to lose their credibility in a number of different areas. I'm going to think of pain relief as one of them. And that was something that people could turn to the medical community for efficient pain relief. And now that even is truly a garbled message from the medical community.
Well, they're combining two different issues. One is the abuse of pain, the opiates, the pain
right.
medication, the narcotic pain medication, the abuse of it for recreational use.
Right.
versus their legitimate use to control pain.
Okay, but you think about the pharmaceutical company who's manufacturing those pain-relieving drugs. They're manufacturing millions more substances or tablets or capsules or whatever than are being legally prescribed. So do they have any idea where those manufactured painkillers might be winding up? The other part of it is, okay, they have tacked their credibility on cholesterol-lowering drugs. What are more and more and more people finding out? That they get a lot of side effects. Yes, their numbers go low, but their heart and circulatory disease has not decreased. Their brain function may have decreased. The risk of cancer may have decreased. And certainly their ability to raise their fat-soluble nutrient levels is interfered with.
Well, here's an interesting statement about the Gardasil vaccine. I think it's been out now maybe 9 years.
I don't know.
So that's the Gardasil vaccine to prevent cervical cancer caused by the human papilloma virus. It's being, you know, marketed very heavily to young girls and women, but also to men now, young boys. With the reason for that is, theoretically, it's supposed to protect against cervical cancer. And yet there's still some controversy whether the human papillomavirus actually, no, that the vaccine actually prevents the cervical cancer that it's designed to prevent.
It's those 200 infectious agents and 10 possible approaches to preventing them. The human papillomavirus, I believe that there are 40 mutations of that, or different forms of it.
A lot of different strains.
And protecting against 3 or 4. Doesn't seem like really good odds to me. And the other thing has to do with nutrition status. If your zinc is low, is your folate is low, is your B12 low, and what is a particular substance that's going to lower your folate? Oral contraceptive, birth control pills. So you're protecting yourself against an unwanted pregnancy, but you're reducing your B12, folate, and across the board, B complex status, and that increases your risk for being vulnerable to the HPV.
And there's evidence that suggests the vaccine increases your risk of precancerous lesions of the cervix by 45%, not to mention all the other injuries associated with this vaccine. Now, just 4 years after the introduction of this vaccine, almost 21,000 adverse reactions have been reported, including 89 deaths, 297 miscarriages or stillbirths, and 370 reports of abnormal pap smears post-vaccination.
Okay, how many deaths, Dr. Slavin?
89, and that was only 4 years. We're 9 years now with this vaccine.
Okay, when you talk about the cause of death listed on a death certificate, I believe that there might be some area of discussion there that would possibly minimize the number of deaths attributable to a vaccination, because I've read higher levels of mortality with regard to the HPV vaccine. And I hear that music again. It's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned, more to come.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. We're talking about the issues surrounding vaccinations. And to discuss the efficacy and the risks, and is there a reasonable balance between those risks that you may be exposing yourself to and the potential efficacy of the vaccines? And that whole concept of deliberately exposing yourself to an infectious agent, that in the long term may very well be associated with your risk of developing things like cancer, heart disease, diabetes, arthritis, digestive problems, immune imbalances. Dr. Slavin?
Okay, so, you know, during the break you asked, you thought there were more deaths associated with the vaccine. So the vaccine was introduced in 2007 in the U.S. and Canada, and that's the Gardasil vaccine. And to date, more than 50 million people around the world, 130 countries, received the vaccine, mostly young women. And in Canada, they reported that 50 Canadian girls have developed serious medical conditions after their injection, and more than 100 deaths and tens of thousands of reports of adverse effects. But what's interesting is a Canadian doctor, Dr. Jennifer Blake, president of the Society of Obstetrics and Gynecologists of Canada, says, "I'm extremely comfortable that this is a safe vaccine." Now, why would they be giving a vaccine to guard against a sexually transmitted disease to girls in eighth grade? You know, they're not exactly in the high-risk group for those problems, unless there's something going on in Canada that we don't know about. But they just ignore the complaints. That's the problem. You know, so many complaints, and they say, no, it's nothing to do with the vaccine.
Well, that's it. They said that there was a very lengthy list of parents who believed that their daughter's health issues were very much associated with having had the HPV vaccine. It's interesting because it was $300 million that the Canadian government spent in order to provide this vaccine. So the $300 million went to the pharmaceutical company that was producing the vaccine. The $300 from the government ultimately came from the Canadian taxpayers. And so it is another viewpoint of literally the revolving door going between the governments and the pharmaceutical companies. So you have to think that so many of the government agencies have far too close a link with the pharmaceutical companies, and it is in the area of criminal interaction?
Well, this is why you need a study, a definitive study, to put any of these questions to rest. And the reason they keep persisting is they don't have a study to defend the use of these vaccines or the statement that they are perfectly safe. But here's what the people that defend Gardasil state, that new vaccines often are followed by claims of adverse impacts, but these are not the same as proof. In a Forbes magazine article in 2012, health reporter Matthew Herpert took on those 28,000 reports about adverse effects. He says it's true, there have been 24,000 reports of adverse events related to Gardasil. There have also been 60,000 reports of death with the mumps, measles, and rubella vaccine, and 26,000 following vaccination with Prevnar, the pneumococcal vaccine. Teenagers die, they say, and some die after getting the Gardasil vaccine, but the people tasked with analyzing this data ruled out almost all of the adverse reports alleged against Gardasil after investigating the first 12,000. They advised doctors and nurses to be on the lookout for girls fainting after their shots. Well, let me remind you, one of the reports we gave of a girl that didn't die, she was she became seriously ill after the Gardasil vaccine. And, of course, they said, no, the vaccine had nothing to do with it, because these reactions didn't happen a day or two after the vaccine. They may have happened a week or two or a month later. But what the vaccine does is weakens the body's immune system that allows other infections in your body that had been kept under control by a strong immune system, which is no longer present. So now these other infections. So in that girl that became very sick, they found these other infections in her body, like tick-borne infections and cytomegalovirus and, chlamydia pneumonia, all these things that we're all exposed to. That's why I say, if you want to get a vaccine, do the test on yourself. See how many viruses and bacterial infections are kept under control by your immune system, because the vaccine and the stress it puts on your immune system just might be the thing that unleashes all these other infections in your body.
This article goes on to talk about an individual questioning the decision that people saying that there were no there was no veracity in these adverse reports. And she said she knows the survivors of the first 12,000 reports. She knows some of them, and none of them has ever spoken to an investigator. Then she goes on to say that the Gardasil ingredients include two substances that may very well be dramatically associated with damage to the receiver of that vaccine, and that's aluminum. We know that aluminum is in the category of neurotoxins, and you want to get any of the aluminum out of your body. So here you have aluminum being injected into a teenager. Then there's histidine, and histidine is the amino acid that's associated with protecting the brain against the negative impact of metallic toxins. So here we can identify specific ingredients in these vaccines that go on to potentially cause not only immediate but very long-term negative impacts on immune function.
Now, you remember the anti-nausea drug used back in the 1950s?
I was just thinking that, Dr. Slavin.
Thalidomide.
I couldn't remember the name of it. That's why I didn't bring it up.
Right.
Okay.
And, when it first became, it was used during pregnancies to combat nausea. And who would have thought, well, obviously they didn't think, no thinking required here, that there might be an interaction with the pregnancy. And sure enough, it did. Kids were born with missing limbs or incompletely formed limbs. And the initial reports of the association between thalidomide and those deformities were anecdotal. They had no study. I mean, this drug was introduced without any long-term studies associated with it. But maybe medicine was more honest back then because they did take the drug off the market. They didn't allow it to remain on the market. I'm not sure how long it took to get it off the market, but, you know, it's not available anymore.
It's interesting because no one discussed the potential for investigating nutrient mineral balance, because one of the contributing factors to nausea in the early stages of pregnancy can relate to a deficiency with regard to calcium and magnesium. It's very interesting that to this day, it is not an area that is discussed. And if people took a look at the quality of the prenatal vitamins that are distributed by obstetricians to their pregnant patients, you'd see that it is very supportive of folate, critically important nutrient, but not necessarily very much devoted to quality. So I frequently urge, I all the time urge my pregnant clients to seek out a quality health food store origin prenatal vitamin, because what you're getting from commercial sources may have synthetic vitamin E, poor quality mineral content, and not be truly a nutrient support.
Now, I found a very interesting website, and the website is truthaboutgardasil.org/memorial, and it's showing the pictures of young girls that have died, perfectly healthy young girls that have died shortly after receiving the Gardasil vaccine, and yet the manufacturers are still not acknowledging any association between the vaccine. It's just coincidences that keep occurring over and over again. But the interesting thing about cervical cancer is that we have other approaches without taking the risk of a vaccine, namely the Pap test that can identify early stages of any changes, or even better yet, practicing safe sex so you don't get exposed to the human papillomavirus. I mean, there are a lot of safe alternatives, and why someone would risk potential problems from a vaccine, whether they're real or unreal, I think you have to err on the side of safety. Just like the people now, we're coming up on two weeks? The Olympics are starting in Brazil, and so many world-class athletes are dropping out because they're concerned about the long-term effects of being exposed to Zika.
And that exposure to Zika is that there's a lot of questions. First of all, okay, after you've been bitten by a mosquito, it may be about 2 weeks before you exhibit the symptoms of illness of the Zika virus. And then there is very much unknown information how long you may be a carrier of that Zika virus and able to infect other people through sexual contact. And for someone who may be pregnant and not necessarily know that the pregnancy has begun, the potential exposure is a very dangerous thing. So, it's interesting because some of the athletes have been critical of the athletes opting out. It's a hard decision to make. I hear music and no decision here. Gotta take a break. You're tuned to National Talk Radio. We'll be right back. Heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about Someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests save the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332 or amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via phone, Skype, or email with the convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com and tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. right here on this station.
You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And remember that when we're talking about these negative situations that the health-concerned population is focused on, there are answers. And we've been talking most of this week about natural ways that you can overcome an immune insufficiency. Maybe your immune system's doing okay, but you're concerned for a variety of reasons about the quality of that immune function, and you can boost that quality of your immune system and theoretically enhance circulation and a whole range of different areas that you can evaluate the efficacy of UVLRX. And I just want to remind everybody that on Saturday, July 16th at 10 a.m., there will be a seminar here at the Institute of Advanced Medicine that will give you the information with regard to UVLRX and a whole range of very effective alternative means for evaluating the state of your health and the needs that you might have in order to hugely support function and particularly immune system function. Dr. Slavin?
Now, you can find people that are pro-vaccine, as we mentioned earlier in the show, and they present a very convincing argument to take a vaccine. And here's what they say about human papillomavirus. It's believed to cause nearly 5% of all new cancers across the world, making it almost as dangerous with regards to cancer as tobacco. And according to the CDC, roughly 79 million Americans are infected with HPV, and approximately 14 million Americans contract HPV every year. Most individuals don't even know it until they are diagnosed with cancer, and about 27,000 HPV-related cancers are diagnosed in the U.S. Every year. Now, that's very strong
pro-vaccine.
Well, but to motivate you to, you know, well, I can't take that risk. I want to get that vaccine. And here's where they go on to say, and this is where the disinformation comes. They say there are no magical panaceas that prevent any of the 250 or so cancers.
So contraire.
There's no magical supplement or pill. There are just a few ways to prevent cancer. Stop smoking. Stay out of the sun.
Oh, my goodness.
Lose weight. Avoid radiation. And make sure you get that HPV vaccine.
Oh, my goodness, what a narrow view.
So I'm just saying there's disinformation on both sides. Makes it very difficult for the healthcare consumer to come up with a good decision. But again, I think sometimes if there's doubt about it, given the history of vaccines and the medical community in general, for example, thalidomide that we spoke about, the introduction of drugs that after a couple of years are pulled from the market because they're killing too many people, why are they being promoted or, let's say, past the FDA scrutiny when really the tests that prove their safety haven't been done?
Here is a little bit of information from this website, Dr. Slavin. The Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices recommends boys and girls 11 to 12 be vaccinated against HPV. And then they go on to recommend that young women up to the age of 26 who have not received it when they were younger, and teenage boys and young men up to the age of 21. It's very interesting to me to evaluate those age categories that they're suggesting. So if HPV takes about 20 years to develop into a cervical cancer, how is it that you stop recommending the vaccine at the age of 26 for young women? How, you know, here's this information from the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices making very specific age categories, and they stop short of the time frame where cervical cancer may develop. Now, it was also said that there is no magic pill, no panacea, and the truth of the matter is deficiency in B-complex vitamins, deficiency very specifically in folate, deficiency in zinc, and antioxidant status all play a role with regard to the proliferation of cervical viruses. And lots of new studies, lots of new information, but who did the studies? Who is making these decisions? And how come the people reporting adverse effects actually have not had interviews with people making a decision about safety and efficacy?
Well, there was a report that came out on the safety of childhood vaccines. And it was reported on all the mainstream television stations, and and people follow this information. When it was said children should get vaccinated against preventable and potentially deadly diseases, that's what the project that screened more than 20,000 scientific studies. So this is a meta-analysis, and 67 papers on vaccine safety. The review appears in the latest edition of the medical journal Pediatrics. Now, you have to remember who did the studies, the pharmaceutical companies that make the vaccines. They go on to say the evidence strongly suggests that side effects from vaccines are incredibly rare. They found no ties between vaccines and the rising number of children with autism.
But how about the rising number of children with certain types of brain cancer? How about the rising number of cases of leukemia and blood diseases? The statistics aren't presented in these vaccine defending sites.
Of course, I say vaccines, like any other medication, aren't 100% risk-free. Just to remind you, over 100,000 people a year die from using medications appropriately. So here are the risks they say you get from taking a vaccine. You get a sore arm or redness at the injection site.
How about the infants who scream for 24 hours after a vaccine? And when mom calls the pediatrician, what she's told, give them pediatric Tylenol, another assault to how their bodies are meant to function.
You know, they say you should vaccinate your kids because look what vaccines have done. Many of the diseases that have plagued children for centuries have all been eliminated. So then why do people who've been vaccinated come down with those very illnesses that they should have been protected against?
That outbreak of measles in one of the universities in the Northeast just recently, those were vaccinated people.
And, you know, they talk about these childhood illnesses as being life-threatening. No, on the contrary, they allow the individual to develop natural immunity to these diseases that last a lifetime, unlike the artificial immunity that the vaccines give. And it's not even clear how long that immunity lasts.
Dr. Slavin, might there have been a dramatic change in how the vaccines were manufactured? And what I'm thinking about are the vaccines for smallpox that were developed many, many years ago, the diphtheria vaccine that was DPT. I don't know, did it start out as an individual vaccine? And might that vaccination process have been very different in the 40s and 50s than it is today?
It might have, but just one last point before we run out of time, that even with all these vaccines we're doing, and let's even give them the fact that it saved lives. In other words, the children didn't die from those illnesses they were vaccinated, but infant mortality hasn't really changed much, so they're dying from something else.
And the national status with regard to world, other nations in the world, United States doesn't place very well in that picture. I think it's in the 30s.
And it's been attributed possibly to all the vaccines given in this country.
That music means we are out of time. Thanks so much for tuning in to Natural Doc Radio. We will be back tomorrow at 10. Bye-bye.
Have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.